Welcome to Amethyst Dynasty. I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air, blessing you with the fire you need to hear. So, lend me your ear. And it's still Thursday, May 14th. And the shit has only gotten worse, okay? As you heard my kitten cry, that's how I feel right now. I'm literally looking at Donald J. fucking Trump say that he didn't know Dr. Rick Brighton, is that his name? Let me pull up what exactly happened and transpired that has the country in a riot, an uproar, a complete rigmarole of chagrin and dis-a-fucking-leaf, okay? Un momento. I know he's trending. He always is. To search for his name because I don't follow him. I'd rather just scroll and see him talked about. Well, I'm guessing he deleted that tweet, but I have it on Facebook. I don't know the so-called whistleblower, Rick Bright. Never met him or ever heard of him, but to me, he is a disgruntled employee, not liked or respected by people I spoke to and who, and with his attitude, should no longer be working for our government. That is what he said. And with saying that, attached to the tweet that I reposted, Representative Joe Kennedy III, I'm not sure what his party is. Personally, side note, I don't give a fuck about whether Democrats, Republican, liberal, conservative, independent, left, right, boom, ba, ba, ding, bop, 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 bop. Obviously, we're in a disarray where your party doesn't matter. When people are fucking dying, party doesn't matter. When people can't eat and are sitting in their cars by the thousands in a food bank line, party doesn't fucking matter. Getting the job done does. And I think that the people in office are really forgetting that, or they never thought about that, or we're in a twilight zone in a matrix game where we're gonna lose. So Representative Joe Kennedy III, back to our scheduled broadcasting, said maybe the fact that you didn't know or even hear of the person in charge of biomedical research for your administration in the midst of a global health pandemic is part of the reason why we are quickly approaching 100,000 deaths in this country. And I have to say, hear, hear, Representative Kennedy III, okay? Because my opinion, as I said, is how do you not know the top biomedical doctor, epidemiologist, I believe he is as well. Well, when this first started, I think they moved him around and put him over something that he's not even well versed in. Like it's not even in his, what's the word? I'm so irritated that I can't think right now. Let me calm down for a moment. He's not studied in the area they put him in. I was watching him the other day talk about it. Like, where they placed him is so astoundingly absurd when his talents and education would better be served dealing with the problem we have at hand, but I digress. How do you, as the president, the leader, the world leader of the superpower of the world, not know the fuck you have running shit over the very thing that we have shut down everything for, that people have lost everything behind, that people have lost everything in people that they love forever? How do you not know that? Are you that oblivious, you girl? Let me sip my drink because I am astounded. I'm baffled. At this point, release the fucking Kraken on us. We're doomed. If the person that was elected to run the country and to deal with nuclear mechanisms and make nuclear decisions and deal with world countries and leaders that are not privy to democracy and will not make waste of a moment to catch back at America. This is the person that's running shit. He doesn't even know who's the top doctor over the pandemic. And he boasts about it. I am conflicted inside my soul to the depths of the earth, reaching to the bowels of Hades and beyond. That right now, at such a time as this, there's still people even supporting this fuckery. And I have to question, are we being left out of a greater ploy that is taking place right as we speak? Or are we really dealing with idiots? I'm gonna go with the latter, because there's no way he didn't know this. I cannot stand somebody who doesn't take responsibility. He doesn't take responsibility at all. He didn't take responsibility for looting a drink and fucking bleach and Lysol and injecting it into your body. He didn't take responsibility for getting rid of the pandemic response team. He doesn't take responsibility for... Why am I even doing this? It's not going to change anything. No responsibility, no mercy, no empathy. Feigned sadness when on television to get the numbers up. That little conference he did where he was like, yeah, I mean, you know, things are bad, you know, but we can't let this break us. I didn't feel that. It wasn't heartfelt. I didn't get the chills. I didn't get the quivers. I didn't cry a tear. I just sat there stoically and cold because I was like, this is all for a show. And come tomorrow, or maybe even a few minutes after the end of this conference, press conference, visual, it's going to be some more madness in front of us to be seen. Today he's trending, Trump's death toll 85,000 plus. You know, I don't see this getting any better, especially not with the situation unfolding in the White House, Congress, Senate, on the congressional floor, the fights about money, how they can't even get it fucking together. February, March, April, May, 4 months later, almost 5 months come June, to make sure that Americans are eating and aren't losing their homes and don't want to kill themselves because now they can't feed their family and they don't even have an option to go work at the fucking McDonald's. And if you think this 25%er opening is going to really feed the people who work in those essential industries, you're a fucking fool. I'm sorry to say it to you like that, but you're a fool, and I want to help you. Things are going to get worse. There are about to be major food shortages, not just with meat, but with vegetables, grain,
shortages with medicines, because 80% of the country's medicines are from overseas, mostly China. And if you think they're going to allow Donald Trump and the ilk of him to get and pander and maneuver and manipulate media saying that they're the main cause of the disease or that they're hacking research, whether it's true or not, that's not what I'm saying. If you think that they're going to allow that and not come back with full force of being China, you are mistaken in living in a bubble. I am not saying that they didn't release something. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Personally, I prefer to believe that this is all God's doing. That makes it all simpler. Doesn't matter who the orifice is being used, it's being done. And that stands. And you better be sure in that. But with regards to the chess game being played, if you think that it's not going to affect us and what all of our products come from there, damn near. You order from Amazon and you get it and it says from China. You think you're ordering something from France, but it came from China. Ask China. Mr. Ask China. Where's the diplomacy to make sure that you're not stepping on the necks of the very people who are you're leading? Hello? Who gives a damn what you think about them? We have to be diplomatic. What happened to that, right? My cat is pissed. Let me let him in. Let's see what he needs. Hold on. Come on. Come on, Jag. You told me you wanted to get out. You're in the recording now. You gonna say hello? Anyway. Anywho. I gather that we're in for a nice rest of this year ride. This has been a real roller coaster. I stopped liking roller coasters a while ago when I got into an accident, a couple car accidents, and my neck doesn't quite feel the same when I get jerked around. So I don't really like being jerked around, and I feel like we're getting jerked around. Now back to the congressional piece. I feel like they can't even come together 4 months, 5 months in, 6 months in to make sure we're eating, to make sure, you know, unlike what other countries are doing where they've already paid, they got it together. They're going to pay their citizens. Some places are $7,500 a month. Some are six, some are four, some are two, but at least they're getting something and they're not waiting. I can guarantee you they've already had those payments. I don't see anything about Canadians or the French or Londoners, European countries, etc., Italy. Even in China, I don't see them protesting on the streets because they want to go back to work because the unemployment checks don't come in or because the stimulus checks were so pettily perverse. They didn't even cover food, water, gas, electric, and other necessities, let alone rent. Rent is more than that, honey. You've got a real serious issue. Several unfolding all at one time. It is overwhelming. And you would think that the people who are getting paid six figures a year with full-on retirements, etc., private insurance to whatever they need, that they would have literally made sure that the people who elected them want to keep them there. At this point, I want them all fucking gone. What are you doing? What have you done? Nothing is getting done. I don't want to hear about talk about another $3.5 trillion bill. What? Where are y'all getting this money from? Thank you, Jag, for your loudness this evening. I'm sorry, everyone. It spins when you get a new kitten. That's where the money went, in the trash. Sorry, y'all. I guess like they say, the freaks come out at night, so do cats. Now all day this damn cat's been sleeping on the windowsill. And right now, while I'm recording, it wants to meow, meow, meow and jump on things. But he's so cute. Oh. A little gander here and there. A little gander everywhere. You hear him crying for me. What do I do? I hope y'all don't mind. He's gonna scratch and scratch the whole time. Just come on. You're making too much noise, Jack. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. This is the loudest freaking recording I've ever done. And I'm going to leave it in there because that's what kind of shit show we're dealing with. A real live shit show. America! Every other country has made sure the citizens don't have to get out in the street and literally brace up to fucking governors with AR-15s and Glock 22s or whatever you call them and demand to be let out in the middle of a global health pandemic to fucking work, to feed their families. At least cover people to make sure they'll stay inside like you're telling them to. But no, we're gonna keep doing these back and forth games. Intrigue. A country built upon intrigue. I tell you what. I'm looking forward to even more baloney in the next coming weeks. I've literally been sitting idly by watching this shit unfold. The last few weeks. I think it's been about 2.5 weeks, maybe 3, since I did my last podcast. I did one this morning called Run It. I hope you listen and tune in. And then I saw that shit and I had to jump on board because I think it is utterly foul, disgusting, titillatingly cruel, and absurd and obscene to be a leader and not know who the fuck you have working for you. That is dangerous. Tell him, Jag. You tell him right now. You know, what's it gonna take, people? Literally, what is it gonna take for us all to have a sense of stability and at least knowing what is happening before us so that you can prepare yourself at least inside your head for what's coming? Because this right here, it's nothing but chaos. I don't like chaos. Chaos makes me a really bitter person inside. And I would prefer not to exude that kind of energy. So I ignore some of it. You know, I've been watching. I haven't been passing any opinions or thoughts or analyzing. I've just been watching. And what I see is damnable to hell. We are doomed, okay, to doomsday. There is no way in hell this man is reading the briefings. If you don't even know what doctors are on board and who's doing the secretive research in the labs, when you already think that a foreign nation has released a deadly virus bioweapon, you're not gonna keep abreast of who you have working on the fucking research? Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. But y'all can tell me if it's me. You can tell me I'm tripping. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I can admit that I am. But this right here is unacceptable. And it's really dangerous. I mean that. It is dangerous. This person has secret key information. And you're not even going to make sure you know the names of the leadership that's working on the very thing you're fighting? either you're lying or you're a fool. And I think he's a fool. I don't think he even reads the briefings every day. I think someone tells him a small short tidbit, a rundown, a summary, and then he just goes off. Because there's no way with what's been going on that this is happening. And all these people are dying. And all these people are dead. And then you furthermore have it being said that particularly minorities, black people, brown people, are being purposely left to die. Which is a given considering the way this has already gone. But I'm not even going to delve too deep into that one yet. Excuse me. I'd like to really know I hope you all already know that it's over 1 million people diagnosed with COVID right now in the U.S. It was like 1.4 million when I looked earlier today. But I know that is subject to change quickly. Let me look up. Coronavirus dashboard and COVID 2019 live. Hoo child, the ghetto. The world is a ghetto. So, in the U.S. of A., there are 1,457,593 people diagnosed, and as of right now, 86,912 people have died. New York has 353,096 people with an active case, 27,477 people have died. Jersey has 144,000 24 people with active cases, 9,946 dead. This list. I'm going to do the top 9 right now. Illinois, 87,937,000 cases, 3,928 deaths. Massachusetts, 82,182 cases, 5,482 deaths. California, 74,785 cases, 3,048 deaths. Pennsylvania, 63,220 cases, 4,294 deaths. Michigan, 49,582 cases, 4,787 deaths. Texas, 44,775 cases, 1,258 deaths. Florida, 43,210 cases, 1,876 deaths. America, you are leading all the world in cases and deaths at the moment. And it looks like you're going to be carrying that torch for a while. Because as of right now, the world has 4,525,166 total coronavirus cases. 303,361 people have now perished. The U.S. again is at the top of the dollar with 1,457,593 active cases, 86,912 deaths, Spain, 272,646 cases, 27,321 deaths. Russia, 252,245 cases, 2,305 deaths. The United Kingdom, 233,151 cases, 33,614 deaths. Italy, 223,096 cases, 31,368 deaths. You get my drift. I'm not going to read all 194 of the world countries, but you understand. And understand well. China, ex-China. Food shortages. I know the price of food is going up. Have you noticed as well? Ah, the Wall Street Journal. Let's get into it. And not only with the coronavirus, but you have to remember the locusts have taken over in Africa and China. They have destroyed many a crop. They're not really talking about it as much. Tell them, Jag. You tell them. Let's get into this article. This is from the WallStreetJournal.com. This is by Rahat Dar, EPA, Shutterstock. Soaring prices, rotting crops, coronavirus triggers global food crises. Processing and transportation breakdowns, panic buying, threaten vulnerable nations. A food crisis with lots of food. The irony of that. This story is by Yaroslav Trofimov. Let me say that again. Yaroslav Trofimov in Dubai and Lucy Kramer in Hong Kong. This was written May 13th, 2020. At around 2:52 p.m. Eastern Time. The coronavirus pandemic hit the world at a time of plentiful harvest and ample food reserves. Yet, a cascade of protectionist restrictions, transport disruptions, and processing breakdowns has dislocated the global food supply and put the planet's most vulnerable regions in particular peril. You can have a food crisis with lots of food. That's the situation we're in, said Abdelreza Abdashion, a senior economist at the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, or FAO. Prices for staples such as rice and wheat have jumped in many cities, in part because of panic buying set off by export restrictions imposed by countries eager to ensure sufficient supplies at home. Trade disruptions and lockdowns are making it harder to move produce from farms to markets, processing plants and ports, leaving some food to rot in the fields. At the same time, more people around the world are running short of money as economies contract and incomes shrivel or disappear. Currency devaluations and developing nations that depend on tourism or depreciating commodities like oil have compounded those problems, making imported food even less affordable. In the past, we have always dealt with either a demand-side crisis or a supply-side crisis, but this is both a supply and a demand crisis at the same time and at a global level, said Arif Hussan, chief economist at the UN's World Food Program. This makes it unprecedented and uncharted. So there's a little graph on this, and it talks about one portion of the graph says price hike. Food prices have risen as the coronavirus pandemic disrupts supply and demand. And there is definitely It looks like the rice index for monthly prices for 2020 went from 220 all the way, it's almost passing 240, probably almost to 250. And then wheat, and that's a ton. And now for wheat, it's almost at about, it went from under 200, like right under $200 a ton to, it looks like it's about 230, almost $230 a ton for wheat. And the prices increases hit harder in some of the world's most vulnerable countries. Domestic price change since January 2019. There's a listing for South Sudan, India, and Myanmar, Burma. Oh, wow. Chickpeas, gram, cassava, potatoes, and wheat. They all were at maybe like a 0 to 1% domestic price change. Those have risen to, well, for wheat and gram, particularly in South Sudan, for wheat, it's almost at the max of 120%. And for the damn, for everything, it's just too much. It looks like potatoes, cassava, gram, and chickpeas for all the countries are all rising. They're all less than 60%. But again, all of these things were at 0% in 2019, just about 0% increase changes. The WFP has warned that up to 36 nations could face famines by the end of the year. Let me read that again. The WFP has warned that up to 36 nations could face famines by the end of the year, potentially pushing an additional 130 million people to the brink of starvation. That's huge. I need a minute before I continue. You know, I don't really get emotional on these. I might get passionate, but rarely do I express emotion. But I don't like to feel or hear or see people suffering. Not for something like that. Not for food. Not for like those things to me are human rights to eat. Someone did tell me eating is a privilege, and I didn't understand what the person meant. But now I do, because it is going to be a privilege to eat. And pause, I keep hearing helicopters up outside tonight. I don't know what's going on. I'll have to look. But this is the third one in the last 40 minutes. Let me get back to the article. In self-sufficient farming, nations such as the U.S., the fallout so far has been limited. While the variety on supermarket shelves has diminished somewhat, and the meat processing industry has experienced some interruptions, there are no major food shortages, and they should have put yet, but let's go on. Other countries, rich and poor, are facing critical challenges in how to make sure their populations get enough to eat in coming months and years. South Sudan, where a new unity government was formed recently to end a long-running civil war, is one of the nations most at risk. One of the data published by the FAO show that prices for wheat in the capital city of Juba have shot up 62% since February. That's terrible. Prices for cassava, a local staple otherwise known as tapioca, are up 41%. I don't even want to imagine how bad it's going to be, said Mabior Garang, the African country's deputy interior minister designate. The borders have been closed and we don't have any local production of food in our country. We were already facing a famine pre-corona. If you add corona to the equation, it's crazy. Potato prices are up 27% since February in Chennai, India, according to the FAO data. In Yangon, Myanmar, prices for gram, a type of chickpea, have climbed 20%. There's a picture on the
article. It's in South Sudan, and literally villagers in South Sudan are collecting rations that have been parachuted from a plane in February. South Sudan is one of the nations most at risk from food disruptions. This photo is credited to Tony Caramba, Agency France-Presse Getty Images. In the Pakistani city of Lahore, van driver Mohammed Asif said his family used to cook chicken twice a week before the pandemic and mutton once a month. Now he said they are eating as little food as possible, subsisting on basic staples, as his income declined by 60%, while food prices in local groceries increased by at least 25%. The virus has made life very difficult for people like us. If the situation continues like this for another couple of months, people will start snatching food from others and stealing to meet their needs, Mr. Asif said. Food shortages have caused political upheavals throughout human history. In the years after the 2008 financial crises, a surge in food prices worldwide helped unleash a wave of turmoil and insurgencies in many parts of the Middle East and Africa. The Arab Spring's series of rebellions was in part caused by a Tunisian vegetable seller setting himself on fire in 2010. Today, many governments worry that breakdowns of the food supply could inspire similar upheaval, and you better know it. When people can't fucking eat or feed their babies, at the very least, you got a problem. I'm not gonna watch my child starve. Food security is key in maintaining socioeconomic and political stability. We can ignore this only at our own risk. President Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines, the world's biggest rice importer, told last month's summit of Southeast Asian leaders, "Our most urgent priority is ensuring a sufficient supply of rice for our people." As economies worldwide come out of lockdown, logistical issues could be resolved. Borders could start to reopen and food trade would pick up, alleviating some risk. Yet it is unclear how many months that would take, a variable that depends on the future course of the pandemic itself. Another picture, sacks of rice in a National Food Authority warehouse in the Philippines. And it shows how they house the rice and how it's packaged. And I'm not really sure what this picture is supposed to show other than that, but it's a good picture, I guess. The photo is credited to Vijay Villafranca, Bloomberg News. The biggest danger going forward, economists say, is that the pandemic's dislocations will affect not just existing food stocks, but planting and harvesting in coming months. That already is occurring in parts of the world. Here we go. Just as a swarm of locusts is eating its way across swaths of Africa and Asia. Sip my drink. Didn't I just tell y'all there are more problems than coronavirus? In India, which has been under a nationwide lockdown since March 25th, Manati Swain's crop of tomatoes and bananas went to waste in the fields last month because restrictions on movement made it impossible to get the produce to local markets in the eastern state of Orissa. Then, heavy rains destroyed the 33-year-old farmer's remaining crop of eggplant. Jeez, OP. It's almost like they're letting the food rot. And this is my theory. Matter of fact, I'm going to hold my theory. Let me write down a note to myself. Theory on food. Because I don't want to digress too far. Now we don't have money to buy food from the market, she said. And if there's no money, how can we plant for the next season? You can't, ma'am. I think that's the point. Around the world, shipping disruptions have made it prohibitively expensive or impossible to move many perishable items, especially fruits, vegetables, and fish, from farmers to consumers. Trade limits, another graph. Some large grain exporters restricted sales to secure food supply at home. Top 10 exporters by volume in 2019. In the blue, countries that imposed restrictions were Vietnam, Pakistan, Myanmar, Cambodia, the EU, Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan. And then there are, for rice, India is 10.2 million metric tons, Thailand 7.5, Vietnam 6.3, they are restricted, Pakistan 4.4, restricted, China 3.2, the US 3.1, and these again are a million metric tons, and this is for rice. Burma, Myanmar, 2.2, restricted. Cambodia, 0.9, they're restricted. Uruguay, Paraguay. Wheat, the EU and Russia, both restricted, are at 33.5 million metric tons. The US, 26.8. Canada, 23. Ukraine, restricted, 20.5. Argentina, 13.5. Australia, 8.2. Turkey, 6.8. Kazakhstan, 6.0. They are also restricted. Mexico, 1.1. And this is an estimate for the year started August 1st for rice and June 1st for wheat. Only Romania has a restriction. Perhaps, that's confusing. Oh, these countries imposed restrictions on, I guess, giving out their food. Maybe they saw something coming with the locust. Anyway, between January 1st and April 10th, the capacity of container ships moving goods fell 30% because of canceled sailings. Those that do reach ports face new delays due to quarantines and shutdowns of customs and other facilities in many places. Sometimes that results in spoiled cargoes. About 85% of passenger flights worldwide have been canceled, reducing global air cargo capacity by about 35%, according to consulting firm McKinsey & Co. India is the world's biggest exporter of rice, helping feed nations across Asia, Africa, and Africa. These days, New Delhi-based rice exporter Shrilal Malhal Group is shipping only 15% to 20% of its normal volume. There is plenty of rice in India, said company chairman Prem Garg. It's just that we can't export it because of logistics issues. Among the obstacles, while there used to be an available vessel to European markets every 2 or 3 days, now there's just one every 2 weeks. That's major. That's like almost a 75% cutback if you think about it. If you had available vessels 2 or 3 days out of the 7 days of wheat, and now it's every 2 weeks, that's a huge amount of loss. And I'm... but I'm going to just say it's about maybe a 60 to 75% loss. I'm going to gauge it there. I could be wrong. Some of the other top 10 rice selling nations compounded the disruptions with export restrictions. Vietnam, the world's third largest rice exporter, stopped all shipments in March. Myanmar and Cambodia also imposed curbs. Thailand has restricted the export of eggs, pictured at a supermarket in Bangkok, and there is a little picture there. Photo courtesy of Vachira Nirpoto Zuma Press. The world's biggest wheat exporter, Russia, last month halted exports until July. Major wheat suppliers Romania, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan also capped sales. Turkey restricted the export of lemons, Thailand of chicken eggs, Serbia of sunflower seeds. Though some restrictions have since been relaxed and Vietnam is resuming rice exports, this threat of protectionism has fueled a global rise in prices for some staple commodities despite bumper crops. Thai rice was up 14% in April, reaching a 7-year high. Black seaweed is up 7%. Though global prices for feed grains are down, that is largely because of problems in the meat industry. Amid this uncertainty, major food importers are responding by hoarding vital staples, which could further drive up prices. Egypt, the world's the world's biggest wheat importer, rarely purchases foreign wheat during its own harvesting season, which is now underway. Yet last month, it bought large quantities of French and Russian grain, part of Cairo's new plan to stockpile up to 8 months' worth of reserves. Those transactions, traders said, helped drive up global wheat prices. If you ask governments what they want to do, they want to accumulate stocks, which is a big problem because first, the price will be lower tomorrow, and second, they don't have the capacity to manage them properly, said Maximo Torrio, Cullen, chief economist at the FAO. Wealthier importers such as Japan, Taiwan, and the United Arab Emirates can outbid poorer countries that already face shortages. It is in these poorer nations, particularly in the sub-Saharan Africa, that food inflation is hitting the hardest. Nigeria is home to 200 million people and one of the world's largest rice and wheat importers. It is suffering from the combined shocks of more expensive imports, disruptions of local production and transport, and the collapse of global prices for its main export oil. Harash Keswani, whose RT Group operates 15 SPAR hypermarkets across Nigeria, said he had to shut down 5 outlets because he couldn't get enough inventory or workers. The farmers have increased the prices of food products because of the lockdown and the lack of access to their farms, and we, the buyers, are now at the receiving end, said Sadiq Usman, a laborer in Nigeria's capital, Abuja. It's not been easy feeding my family, and now we're eating just once a day. Oh my God. I try to do that to lose weight or to just deny myself, you know, and that's hard. That's hard to do. Purposely? So to do it because you have no choice? The agony, the sorrow. Some of the world's wealthier food importers have been preparing for disruptions since the previous crises a decade ago. Taiwan, which imports two-thirds of its calorie needs, has amassed 900,000 metric tons of rice in a government stockpile, 3 times the amount its Council of Agriculture is legally mandated to have. Those stocks were built up before the pandemic. Kudos to Tai fucking Wan for being prepared. I think they have the lowest number of COVID, some of the lowest numbers of COVID cases too, Taiwan, that everyone brushes off as being third world, seems to be prepared. Let's get into it again. Now Taiwan says its farmers will produce an additional 1.2 million metric tons in the next 6 months, leaving it with enough rice reserves to feed its population for 21 months. You think America is prepared to feed us for 21 months when they can't even get together enough stimulus money to make sure that at least people had 6 months worth of bill money, rent money, food money, necessity from the taxes we pay heavily? Please, we're gonna fucking starve. The UAE imports some 90% of its food. A network of 105 Carrefour grocery stores there increased its stock from 3 months to 4 because of the pandemic, said Alain Bijani, chief executive of Dubai-based Majid Al Futtaim Group, which operates 300 Carrefour outlets in 16 nations. He said retailers and the government are in talks on how to boost stocks of key items to as much as 12 months, something that would require major investments in storage and inventory. That kind of stockpiling would be impossible in Nigeria, said Mr. Keswani, the supermarket executive based in Lagos. As a result, Nigerian supermarkets, this cat, y'all, often have bare shelves just these days. Just 26% of Mr. Kaswani's orders are being filled by suppliers, down from more than 90% before the pandemic. It's disgusting. No one should be hungry. No one. It's disgusting. Let's see if this is gonna play for me. How much time do we have left? I've got a few minutes. I didn't mean to go this long, but this is too interesting. This video is still on the article, obviously. Thousands line up to receive boxes of food in New Jersey. Outside of New York, New Jersey is the state that has been hit hardest by the pandemic. WSJ visited a recent emergency food distribution event in Newark to speak with New Jerseyans about food insecurity during the pandemic.
The world needs medical supplies, so we're producing more of the raw materials.
Commercial. I wish I could skip it. It's a commercial. Are we all in this together? This is 4 minutes long.
This is what a modern-day bread line looks like. Hundreds of cars backed up for miles. In each of them is likely someone who has lost their job, been furloughed, or had their hours cut because of the coronavirus pandemic.
We were here from about 8:30 a.m. waiting online to get all the food. Currently, everyone in my house is unemployed.
No one at home is working. I have my mother, 4 kids, and me. So it's been a tough time. But it is what it is, you know, we're living at the dollar store.
I have a catering business. Since this happened, I have to shut it down. We asked for help for the government, but there was not enough funds for me to get any help.
Despite being one of the wealthiest states in the country, New Jersey has seen demand for emergency food donations skyrocket. Today, the Community Food Bank of New Jersey is distributing 2,000 boxes of food, each one containing 40 meals.
Before the pandemic struck, we estimated over 700,000 New Jerseyans were food insecure. They didn't know at any given point where the next meal could be coming from. We estimate the need has increased 45% to 50%. And when you think about the close to 600,000 folks that have already filed for unemployment, it's not hard to imagine where those numbers came from.
New Jersey has been hit hard by the virus. Only neighboring New York has more cases and deaths. The lockdown has led to a record number of unemployment applications, overwhelming the state's benefit system, crashing its websites, and creating delays.
Before this, I was a valet driver and I'm still a college student, but valet driving is what helped me get my bills going. I've been out of work since about March 14th. I've been just hanging in there. It hasn't been easy, but the checks that we received last month, it definitely helped out. I'm finishing in the fall. I'm a college senior. It is tragic. We ended the semester online, but we're starting next semester virtually.
I worked at a law firm, so I was like, okay, like, you know, maybe I'll be able to keep my job. I could at least try to provide for us, but I didn't. And then my summer internships got canceled. The income that we thought we were going to have, it just, like, all went away. I'm still in college, and so is my brother. We didn't get the stimulus check. And then since we are over 18, I'm 21, and my brother's 22. My mother only got $1,200, which still hasn't even come in. Our rent alone is $1,800 a month, so it's like our savings that we have, it's going out of the door.
How many people in the home?
I worked at a daycare, and the daycare has closed because everyone's scared to come in, and even essential workers are just having their children stay with their parents. The stimulus check, that's the only assistance I've gotten so far, and I'm waiting to get paid for unemployment. The rent so far, I paid last month, the month before. I'm a saver, so I had the money too. I've been good with that. Now, anything after next month, I don't know. We're just living day by day.
I didn't lose my job because I'm on the food services. But it really decreased a lot, like 60% of my actual income. So I'm just getting my 40% of my income. I'm not sick, luckily. My parents were sick. I live with my parents. I didn't have any symptoms. I'm still working, I'm still alive here. We didn't realize it was a good life before all this, right? Now, because of this situation, everybody really appreciate more what we have now and how important it is to be alive.
This is for sure impacting many New Jerseyans who never imagined themselves in this situation. You can just tell some of the cars that are driving in here speak to a different reality back in February. But in April, it's standing in a food line and struggling to figure out how you're going to feed yourself and your family.
Ooh. Heavy, heavy. It got so heavy, baby. Yeah, yeah. Heavy, heavy. It got so heavy on me. Suppliers either don't have the goods, they're not manufacturing, or they don't know how to get the goods to us, he said. What is not getting through is a huge list. Are the fruits and vegetables getting through? No. Are the meats getting through regularly? No. There is not enough. Krishna, Pokharan in New Delhi, Gebinga, Akinbule in Abuja, Nigeria, and Waqar Gilani in Islamabad contributed to this article. And I'm going to have to do another one and come back. I'm only allowed 60 minutes on each episode on Anchor, but it's okay. I still want to keep talking, so I'll probably do a shorter one, but an add-on to this. Do continue to tune in. But in case you have to depart from me for the evening, I leave you with peace and love and joy and happiness and serenity. And I implore you to try reading a little bit of the Psalms and the Bible. If you don't believe, I implore you to try it out. Because a lot of the things that are happening right now are all prophetic and entwined, and everything's happening immediately. And so it is important that we all keep our souls and our minds stayed on the Most High and on good and on being calm, cool, collected, and thinking. And Jag says goodnight. And again, I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air. Like blessing you with the fire you need to hear. So lend me your ear. Thank you for listening to Amethyst Dynasty. I'm a little shaken up by this. I'm sorry, y'all. It's really heavy. Talk to you soon.